screen up there in a minute. It will appear. It will appear. There it is. Good. So there's the subject. And following on from last time when I talked about the heart, the importance of the heart and the simple definition that it's just our inner life, that which is hidden from others. The Hebrew idea is the center of our being. Of course, the Bible talks about Christ dwelling in our hearts. And there's many, many verses that talk about the heart. And so I'm not wanting to bring any intricate definitions of what that is, but just simply the inner life, the life that no one sees but you and God. The other day I was at lunch with several pastors. It was just an informal lunch, and one pastor turned to me and he said, Richard, what is God saying to the church in Perth today? Now, first of all, that's a very intimidating question, because how would I know, you know, what God's saying to the church today? So I kind of fumbled and stumbled a little bit, but then I said, well, my perception, and it's only my perception, is that God is saying to us, let's get back to basics, back to basics. And what I included in that getting back to basics is in these simple things that the New Testament is really on about. From beginning to end, the New Testament is really on about what's in our hearts. Just what's in our hearts. Not even so much about doing with our hands, which, as I said last time, is very important. Not so much about the words of our mouths, which obviously are very important, and it does talk a lot about those things. But mainly it talks about what's in the heart. What's going on in there? And so a couple of verses that I'll just point it that way. Okay. And press it and something will happen, will it? It is on and... Okay, let me go back again. Okay. So I just noticed when I was... looking at the passage that was just read out to us by Diane, that the first couple of verses in the chapter really put the whole passage in context, where it talks about since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. And the second verse, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And then just remembering the verses from last time, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Very powerful words when you think about them. And then the other prayer that I mentioned before, and it's up there for you now, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. A number of years ago, our church was contacted by a lady that I happened to know from the country, had known her for quite a few years, and her lovely family are attending our church. And she wrote and said, I'm wondering why you don't ever bring a series of messages, because what we do in our church usually is bring series of messages over 5 or 6 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks. She said, I wonder why you don't ever bring a series of messages on what's in the heart, because the New Testament is frequently talking about things like forgiveness and love and peace and joy and things that are in the heart. And Paul is often saying to his congregations, make sure that you forgive one another from the heart and be patient with one another. Be kind to each other. He's always saying those sorts of things. When you read Paul, whichever letter you turn to, it's full of those kind of things. And she said, I'm wondering if perhaps you could do a series on that. And then she elaborated why. She said, it just seems like within my younger family, in my children and grandchildren, that there are family resentments and family unforgivenesses that just remain there and have been there for years. And it seems like nothing is ever done about them. And when I considered what she said and I thought of the families that probably were involved in that circle, I thought, my goodness, they are just the kind of people you would absolutely love to have in church. They were at the forefront of every offering of service. They'd be there. They would always be welcoming and friendly and just lovely. And it was our privilege actually to know them and often talk to them and be with them. And yet here was a mother saying, but there are resident unforgivenesses and resentments that are not being dealt with, and we wish you would bring a series in church on this. And so the incongruity of just the beauty and the loveliness of these people, and yet something that was in their heart that people weren't seeing, but a mother saw and was prompting us to do something about it if we could. Well, we can't do anything about it other than just simply preach the word, and it's up to the Spirit to work in people's hearts. But it's the heart that needs addressing in so many instances. What's in the heart is so important, because everything we do flows from the heart. Now, I I wasn't going to say this, but I think maybe I will. I was preparing this series for a teaching at one of the large city churches, and just the day before I was to give this teaching, I was phoned by the executive pastor of the church, and he said, "Oh, sorry, we never do this, but I'm cancelling your teaching tomorrow night." And I said, "Well, that's fine, yeah, whatever is suitable for your church." He said, "Well," he said, the tragedy is our youth pastor has just taken his life." And so he said that the church is in shock, in absolute grief and shock, and we just don't know how to handle this, so we're calling a meeting, we're just gathering everyone together to grieve together and to pray. And as I reflected on that, and this was the series that I was to bring that particular night, that I've broken down into three different messages, and so I thought I better not waste all that stuff, so I better bring it somewhere. So you're getting it. But so as I thought about the fact of what had happened and the church itself is just shaking itself still, I think, and their leaders are still trying to come to terms with that as I am. I'm thinking, well, how could that happen? And without absolutely any judgments at all, but only grace and mercy and compassion towards the person, the church and the family. Just in thinking about that, here's a young man about to be married, so popular right across the churches, very talented, very able, and he takes his life. What's going on there? Well, one thing we can observe without judgment is that something was going on in the heart that people didn't know about on the outside. Now, that's an extreme example, but it's a current one, and it's extremely important. The example I just gave you about the mother that contacted us and said, please preach about these matters, because there's an ongoing residual resentment and unforgiveness that's within our family that we can't seem to deal with. Would these be common things? I would say so. Would this be what God is saying to the city of Perth and to the whole world through the scriptures, I believe, and through the apostles as we read their writings, when they say, please be kind to one another, be at peace among yourselves, deal with those things that are there. And in case, I was thinking about this earlier and I was thinking, well, maybe those who of us who have nurtured unforgiveness in our hearts, at the time we nurtured that unforgiveness, we don't realize that we are actually resentful and unforgiving. And we have to actually define that, I think. And I just briefly, and I'm kind of drifting around here a little bit before I get onto this message, and then I'll try to keep it brief. But I was thinking about this, and I was thinking in my own heart, when I've been caught up in unforgiveness or resentment, it's been when I continually have these little accusations in my heart against someone. And they keep rising. And I don't think of myself as unforgiving or resentful, but I just keep having these little accusations that keep coming up and coming up and coming up. And I realize I haven't released those things from my heart. So that when I look at this person or that person, I have absolutely nothing in my heart to accuse them of. Because you see, love always thinks the best, and love forgives. And so there's got to be this forgiveness means to release, and we need to release people from the things that we think about them and hold against them. And so sometimes that needs definition. But to get right into this message very quickly, I want to talk to you this morning about an environment for nurturing the heart. So we're talking about nurturing the heart so that it's a healthy place. So the environment for nurturing the heart is what I want to talk to you about. Okay, those of you that watched Gardening Australia last night, there were some pretty wonderful examples of this very thing, because I remember Jerry at one stage said, you know, I tried to grow this plant. And he said, I didn't have any success. I put it over here against this wall. It was in full sun and it didn't like it. I put it over here in full shade and it still didn't like it. So he said something like, and I mightn't have his words right, in desperation, I just left it here. And next thing I know, it's thriving. So he says, obviously, this was the right environment for it. He said, you know, we can't tell our plants when they should grow and how they should grow and so on. He said, you've just got to do what is absolutely right for them. And I thought, what a great example of our Christian lives and the nourishment of our heart. You just can't, dictate how your heart grows. You've got to have the right environment. And this morning I want to talk about that environment, and I've divided this environment into four P's, just to help you remember, and perhaps I've forced some of these alliterations, but nevertheless, here we go, four P's. The first one is precept. That's not a very great title, but it starts with P and it might help you to remember. I'm really talking about Scripture. Scripture. Okay, let's see if I can get this up here. The law of God is in his heart, and his feet do not slip. Or I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And of course, the well-known verse in the New Testament, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the first environment for healthy hearts, for healthy growth, is the Scripture. Precept is the word I've given. Not such a good choice, but nevertheless, you know I'm talking about Scripture. And so the environment that I'm talking about here, of course, is the seed that goes into our heart and the nutrients that go into our heart that produce healthy and good growth. Of course, if you don't have seed there, you don't get any growth at all. And the seed, Jesus said, is the Word of God. And so as the Scripture, the Word of God, is sown in our hearts, then we have an environment for growth. Of course, there has to be nutrients there as well. And so that when those things are just right, then we find that our hearts have the right environment, or at least part of the right environment for growth. Now, my wife and I have joined the great brigade of the grey nomads. We've just bought a caravan this year, and so we've launched out into the country a few times. And each time I've launched out, we bought a second-hand caravan, and we inherited a lot of stuff with it, one of which was a television system, an aerial, and you've got to plug it in the right way and all the rest of it. And the man that sold it to me said, make sure you plug the aerial into that plug. There's two plugs, two aerial plugs. The reason being, one came with the caravan and the other one he put in later because he put a more elaborate aerial on it. So he said, now, if you plug it into that one, you get nothing. Plug it into that one, you get something. So, of course, I thought I had remembered really well which one he told me to plug it into. And so, having that very firmly fixed in my mind, each time we went out in the caravan, I plugged the aerial into that plug, turned the television on, and got absolutely nothing. And the next time, and the next time. And so it suddenly occurred to me that I may have made a mistake. Every now and again I do that, once or twice a year, I make a mistake. And I decided that perhaps he meant the other plug. And so I plugged the television aerial into that plug, And all of a sudden, everything burst into light, after a bit of tuning, of course. Everything burst into life and light, and we were able to receive the programs. And I think the Word of God being sown in our hearts is a lot like that. If you're not plugged in to the source of what's going to do something in your heart, then you're not going to see that health and that life and that purification go on in your heart. It's the precept, the law, the Word, the Scripture that enriches our hearts, that helps us to actually be in the right environment. Secondly, now this is basic this morning. I know this is basic. Remember I said, I really think God is saying, get back to basics. Why is he saying, get back to basics? Because it's a matter of what's going on inside of our hearts. You know, if we can be talented, brilliant, able, if we can do great things for God, but if our hearts are not right, then everything we do really is affected, because it's the rightness of the heart that really counts. So, yes, basic. Second P. Haven't put that up there for you yet. But it's basic, isn't it? Prayer. Prayer. And the verse that I mentioned last time and mention again this morning, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Self-explanatory, powerful, necessary. No, I'm not going on just there at the moment, because there's one more verse I didn't have on the screen, I thought might have been on the screen, but it's just simply, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, what is it about prayer? There's a lot about prayer we could talk about. I just want to talk about one thing that prayer does. I think prayer positions us to receive from God. Prayer is a positioning thing, because what you are doing is you're directing your attention toward God and you're asking him for his help. Now, I know prayer is much wider than that, but one of the things that prayer is doing is positioning us with our requests to God, and therefore attention being on God, we are listening to God, we are open to God, receiving from him. And so to me, prayer is a positioning, or it's a putting ourselves in the posture of receptivity. We're open to hear from God. And as we put ourselves in that position through our prayer that goes up to him, then we find that there's a softness that takes place in our life. There's a moisture that distills in our hearts. And there's a readiness that comes about in our lives, because we are bringing to God in a humble posture our needs. You know, even just that expression of need is a very important thing for culturing the heart and for being in the right environment for the heart to be healthy. That suggestion of humility, where we're looking to God, the very posture of hands raised, heads raised, and hearts directed, is saying, well, Lord, I need you. Come and help me. And as he comes to help us, there's, as I said, a softening, a moistening, a readiness to allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts. Perhaps I can get back to my caravan and my TV antenna again. When we were at Esperance and I made this amazing discovery that I had to plug the aerial into the right plug, otherwise I wasn't going to get any signal. By the way, you know what I did to the other plug? I completely wound it up with tape, so it wasn't possible to plug it into that one, in case, because when you get to a certain age you suddenly start to think, now, was it that plug or was it the other one? I can't quite remember. But anyway, I do know now, because I've taped it up and I know which one to plug it into. But I was still having some problems in Esperance and I was getting some reception. So I decided this day I'd walk outside and have a look at a few television aerials around and noticed they were pointing this direction. Now, I don't know whether it was that direction or this direction, but we'll say for the sake of the story, it was that direction and I was pointing over in this direction. So I thought, right, I'll turn my aerial this way. And once again, you know, the television stations that were 4 and 5 suddenly became, 20, 30 and 40 because I was focusing in the right direction. And I thought, what an amazing example that is of prayer. You know, we battle along trying to come to grips with who we are and trying to live healthy spiritual lives, but we've not directed ourselves towards the source sufficiently. I mean, we might pray a casual prayer here and there or maybe on a Sunday, but it's this regular directing, this intentional focusing on our Lord in prayer, in humble request, that will actually bring in, if you like, that wide vista of His blessing that we had longed for but we hadn't up to date received. And some famous person says, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And I forget who that was, Kipling or Tennyson or somebody or other. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's true that if we would intentionally position ourselves in the direction of our Heavenly Father and ask Him for things, then there would be this softening and this receptivity, this openness, something that goes on within our hearts. Now, the Old Testament puts it very clearly in Hosea 10:12. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness upon you. What a wonderful promise. I like that promise. I want to be part of that. Well, we move on to the next P. It's the third one, and it's presence. I've discovered in my life and in the Scriptures that reading the Scriptures devotionally and seeking God in prayer require the empowering of the presence or the Spirit of God. And I do have a scripture here for you to have a look at. It says, and I think I read this last time perhaps, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So this empowering of the heart comes through the presence of God, through the Holy Spirit. And one other verse, I'm not sure, it's down the bottom there. And take the sword. Now, we've just been talking about the scripture, the sword, but notice it says of the Spirit. And we've just been talking about praying, haven't we? But notice it says here, praying at all times in the Spirit. There is an empowerment that comes when we read the Word so that the Word is fresh and alive and touches our hearts. It no longer is a boring, laborious read, but it's something that takes on the life of God because the Holy Spirit uses the Scripture. And secondly, praying does not have to be a dry experience, because we pray in the Spirit. The Spirit enlivens our prayer so that when we pray or when we read the Scriptures, there's light and there's warmth, there's reality, there's impetus, and there's insight. You know, you put your plants out in the garden and you get them going and you water them, but, you know, unless there's sufficient light and sufficient water, sufficient atmosphere for them to grow, they're not going to grow. And that's how it is with us as believers. The Holy Spirit lives within us, but he needs to have full expansion as we read the scriptures and as we pray. How do we see the Holy Spirit move in our scripture reading and in our prayers? Well, it's not a matter of getting him to do it, it's a matter of asking him to do it. Jesus said, if we ask for the Holy Spirit, we will receive his grace and his power and his working. And so every time we open the scripture, it's a good idea to say, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Or when we pray, in fact, often when I come to a prayer meeting, I say, Lord, as I come to this prayer meeting, help me to pray today. By your Holy Spirit, give me the impetus to pray. Because these things need to be in the power and in the grace of the Holy Spirit. So I ask a question. When we think about the Holy Spirit, what do we think of? A lot of people think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Other people think about signs and wonders and miracles. And they think about things that have to do with outward display or drama. But you know, the Holy Spirit is given mainly to make us more like Jesus, to work in our hearts. That's why the Holy Spirit is really given. And so you have lots of verses that say things like this: the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Or may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is the power of the Holy Spirit given for? Is it to make me a mighty man of God and perform miracles and speak in tongues? Is that why the Holy Spirit is given? Well, he may do that at his choosing, but that's not really why the Holy Spirit is given. He's given to overflow me with hope, to help me to love, to help me to be patient, to help me to be kind. This is why the power of the Holy Spirit is given to me. It's not up to me to try to be those things. It's up to me to put myself in the right environment so that he can do those things in me. To be prayerful, to be devotionally reading the scriptures, to be open to the Holy Spirit working in my heart and in my life. And just further descriptions of what the Holy Spirit means from the New Testament and also from many people's experience is that Christ's tangible presence, his love and his transforming godliness is there in answer to prayer. That praise and thankfulness occurs as we sing because the Holy Spirit is in our singing together. And life and reality and vividness come to us through the reading of the scriptures, because the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God come to life. And then joy and motivation and peace occur in the practice of prayer, because the Holy Spirit is there in the practice of prayer. You know, not for 1 minute should we think in terms of boredom and being laborious when we come to prayer and when we come to the reading of the Word and we come to spiritual things. Because if we open ourselves and we earnestly ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, we will find that all these things will come to light and life. And it will be a joy to pray, a joy to read the Word, and a joy to position ourselves for growth as we realize that this is the environment in which growth takes place. And then finally, we've got a final P, which is practice. And the scripture is here: let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the message of Christ dwell among you or in you richly. Here, this is talking about our inward life and the corporate inward life, if you like. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And notice that the Spirit is always very present in this whole thing of the environment for growth. Because without the Spirit, we are just practicing a religion. We are just practicing a Christianity that is powerless, because we need that Holy Spirit to be very active in these things that we are doing, so that there is life and growth and transformation. Without them, We find that we just don't have that. And so there needs to be, finally, the final P is, there needs to be some gardening done. So we've got the environment, but the environment also includes gardening or practice or tending the plants for growth, if you like. And here we're talking about tools and skills. And thank God we've been given tools. The tools are hinted at here in this passage, and I want to talk about those tools next time. Perhaps not so well understood, but hopefully as we unpack it, it will be better understood, and we'll be able to get our, if I excuse the pun, a handle on some of these tools and be able to use them to good effect. Well, we have a friend who went back to college and did some horticultural training, and she started her own business, and she started working in this whole area. It was a totally new area for her because she was an administrative worker prior to that and was very skilled at that as well. But she took on this whole new knowledge and took on a whole lot of new skills, and she took on also a whole lot of new tools. And so after quite a few months, I looked out at our front garden, and my wife had spent most of her time there, and I'd spent just a little bit of my time there, and it was starting to get beyond us. It was a large garden with originally, I don't know, 25 rose bushes or something, and lots of other plants, and so I thought, well, you know, we've been plugging away at this for weeks now. Why don't we just get Carol around and pay her for half a day's work and see what can happen? Well, you know, when you get somebody that's got the knowledge and that's got the tools, it's got the trailer, that wasn't three T's, was it? It was only two T's, but, and you let them loose, what a difference it makes. Here my wife and I had plugged away week after week after week, but here comes someone with the knowledge and the tools, and in half a day, the whole front garden was totally transformed. Absolutely amazing. And what I see in this verse are some tools, some skills that are advised for churches to employ, which I don't think we employ so well or so much as is hinted at here. There's a lot in these verses I'd like to unpack when we get together. But once we employ these skills, a whole lot takes place in our lives which hadn't taken place perhaps at least with such urgency or with such success before, because we're employing the tools, not just human tools, but the tools that God has given us, the tools listed here in this verse, that we teach and admonish one another with songs and hymns and spiritual song, singing in our heart, making melody to the Lord. This is the gardening that goes on that will help keep our hearts healthy as we position ourselves in that right environment for heart health. Well, just part of our new caravanning experience is spotting wild orchids. Now, I don't know about, I think I can speak for my wife, but my wife and I had never before realised just what was in the Australian, particularly the West Australian bush. We were taken by our friends who are real experts on orchid spotting and orchid photographing, and we went to a particular bush spot, and you know, if I had been there without them, I would have just chomped through and said, oh yeah, nice bit of Australian bush, and my eyes would have been up like this and just enjoying the bush, but not realizing that under my feet were amazing things. But our friends, of course, were quite different. They'd take one or two steps very gingerly and say, oh, look at that, look at that. And I'd think, what, I can't see anything. Look at that. And they'd come right down and they'd, you know, be almost effervescing at this tiny little plant that I could hardly see. And after a while, I began to be sensitive to what was going on. And so just the other day, a couple of weeks ago, we were driving into the country for a certain destination, and my wife and I said, well, let's just stop and have a look in this bush. That's something we would never do, you know, never. But because of our friends and the way that inspired us, we decided we'd do that. So we stopped and we looked in the bush, and oh, look at this. And so I got down with my camera and took a photograph, and we walked up a little bit and, oh, look at this. And, you know, and a few months before, I'd be just chomping through in my big boots and I wouldn't have seen anything. And so I put the photographs on Facebook and on Instagram, and our friends messaged back and they said, where did you find that? That is amazing. And I thought, oh, is it? Is it amazing? Is it? We just photographed what we kind of learned by now were orchids because of certain features. By the way, we photographed a few things that weren't orchids that we thought were, but, you know, we're naive and we're still learning. But, you know, awareness and skill can absolutely transform the way you live. Now, I believe, and I close with this, there are many Christians that are living a humdrum life, battling with inner things, not dealing with the issues, because they don't realize there is a particular environment, there's a particular awareness, there's a particular insight, and a particular skill set that if we were to employ them, we would all of a sudden become different people. Gradually, or all of a sudden, who knows? And you begin to tread a little more carefully through the bush. And you begin to look a little more carefully at the glory of God. And I said to someone as we were beginning to make this discovery, I said, you know, often you just look out in the world and you say, gosh, where is God working? I can't see God working anywhere. And I could just walk into the bush and say the same thing. I can't see anything special here. Oh, hang on a minute. Look at what God's doing. Look. And you know, it's the same in the spiritual realm. Look at what God's doing in this heart, in that heart. It's a little awkward blooming. And doesn't it look beautiful? Look at that grace in that person. Look at what God's doing. Oh, but I want to see signs and wonders and miracles, and I want to see flashes of lightning. Hang on a minute. Open your eyes. Become sensitive and skillful. Become aware. Become prayerful. Become a devotional reader of Scripture. And then you'll begin to see and be aware of where God is working within you and within others. May God give us grace. May God give us open eyes. Open our eyes, Lord. Let's pray right here and now. Heavenly Father, we do pray. I know for myself, I'm often so dumb and so deaf and so blind. But Lord, open my eyes, open my heart, open my ears to where you are working. And to my brothers and sisters in Christ here, I pray that you'll give us fresh, new, open eyes to be placed in the right environment and to use the skills and the abilities that not that we have, but that you give us. And that we will see our hearts begin to flourish in a fresh new way. And all of that in and through the power of the Holy Spirit and the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's just stand as we sing our final song.